rumors started coming out that Sega was no longer manufacturing Dreamcast.
No!
And I remember interviewing Charlie Belfield. I said, the rumor is that you're going to discontinue. And he said, no, that's not true. And I said, are you manufacturing them now? And he said, no. And I said, how much inventory do you have? And it turned out that there was more inventory in the channel and in their warehouses than there was sold. And I said, okay, that doesn't look good. Charlie, when will you start manufacturing again? And that was when Charlie said, you know, we have no plan to start manufacturing again. And that was when, that was the first time Sega came out and officially announced that, yeah, we've discontinued.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm
Koba. I played so much that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
If you listen to the show for this long, they know that I don't give a fuck.
Ludicrous kill.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode Uno 7. I don't know what the Spanish for that is. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And it is April 23rd, 2006. The website is hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com, which should display properly now, by the way. I'm pretty happy about that. And you can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. Little pound symbol in front of that, G-A-M-E-R. Riveting conversation sometimes.
Very good stuff.
It's pretty amazing. All right. Now, also, as far as the website is concerned, I've gone ahead and updated the forums. So if it doesn't work, you can direct all your hate mail to me. It was my little project this morning when I was half asleep. I thought it was a good idea to go ahead and break the forums.
I checked after you did it, and it was working for my house. So.
Okay. I hope it still worked because, I mean, I backed it up. I did everything I could in case I screwed it up again, and it seems like it's okay. So, whatever. And let's also note that last week we had some weird sound issues, or at least I thought. A lot of people said they couldn't really notice the problem, but I sure in the fuck did. It sounded like bad editing. Basically, it would clip and go, chick, chick, and it would sound like we almost clipped and pasted a lot of the sentences together, but it wasn't the editing, that's for damn sure, because I heard it while I was playing it back.
I had someone mention that the editing sounded funky.
Yeah, okay, good. At least I'm not the only one who picked up on that, because it wasn't the editing. It was just the way that it was recorded. So I blamed the machine. So since then, I've gone ahead and I've wiped the computer, because it's just been a long fucking time. So we all know how Windows gets after a little while.
Yeah.
So XP got wiped out, and then instead of just going ahead and throwing on the, you know, regular Windows XP, I thought, you know, I found out about this little project called Nlite OS. It's the letter N, LiteOS.com, and this is about the coolest thing in the world. It's kind of like Linux from scratch, but for Windows. Mm-hmm. You know, you basically copy your Windows CD to your hard drive, you install this little mega and a half file, and then it, like, reads everything that you can get in Windows, and you can turn shit off. And I don't mean just turn it off, I mean get rid of it.
Just absolutely yank it out of the system.
It's really nice to not have Windows Media Player. You know, it's really cool. I don't have half the services, I don't need all these extra drivers and crap. I got it down to, like, 200 megs or so. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. So the machine is about as good as it can get, you know, as little Microsoft stuff as possible. It's fantastic. And the big problem I had before was the main drive that we recorded on was mostly full, and I would keep having to, like, delete just enough space, you know, to record and whatnot, and I know I needed a good defrag and all that stuff. So anyway, we're in good shape as far as, like, hardware and software goes, so if we still have that weird little clipping problem, I get to blame Creative Labs and go on some crazy tirade about how bad their drivers are. Because it's got to be that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have eliminated, I believe, everything else. So, and it looks good. Because I remember when we were watching it before, although maybe I'm just not watching it closely right now, I could see it dump chunks of our voice in the waveform here onto Audacity. I would watch it paste like chunks instead of just like smooth like it kind of is now. So I don't know. And this is how it usually is, I'm pretty sure. So
I think so.
We shall see. Oh, email. I got to go like find all the paperwork and stuff. All right. We got a couple of emails this week. First one here is from Puppy, and it says, only listened to half the show. This is about 116, but it's great. I've focused on everything that I've been thinking about lately. Maybe there's some telepathic link. Oh, it focused. Some telepathic link between gamers or something. You know, didn't we talk about that before? Like many, like probably 100 shows ago, I remember talking about telepathic gamer links with people about topics. Anyway, two things. I have to agree that I too am stuck on what to do in terms of games. I've played Call of Duty 2, Quake 4, Fear, etc. In terms of MMOs, I've played World of Warcraft, and you know what I did to get rid of my addiction. I played EVE Online for a while. What they don't tell you is that unlike WoW, it can be rather boring and very lonely. Sometimes the nearest player is 3-star systems away. Which, you know, that blows my mind for a game that has one server.
Yeah.
You know, with 23,000 people on at the same time.
It's a huge place, though.
It must be gigantic. We're actually...
And it's supposed to be, like you're flying through space. They're supposed to be, like... That sort of thing to it.
Oh, okay. Like you're out in the great unknown or something? Right. Okay. Well, that may not make for the best gameplay experience.
No.
Okay. And I even played City... Oh.
Quickly, I would imagine that there are certain areas that are like hotspots, though. And that
yeah, you would think.
Tend
you
to
would...
congregate at.
Right, right. Totally. Like in World of Warcraft, everybody hangs out in Ironforge.
Right.
Final Fantasy XI, you've got Juno as like the meeting point. There's got to be a place like that for this, too. So I don't know. I guess he just played the 14-day trial. Which we'll actually kind of touch on that just briefly. Let's see. And I even played City of Heroes during the beta. What's left to do? I am currently thinking about either reinstalling Steam to see whether there are any interesting user-created mods for Half-Life 2 out there, or just getting stuck into some CODUO or BF2 online play of Call of Duty. What the hell is UO part of it? Maybe some mod for it?
Maybe.
Got me. Obviously, multiplayer COD2 sucks ass at the moment, although the patch is imminent, they say. Either that, or perhaps I might give City of Heroes or Guild Wars another try, which I didn't really spend enough time on before. I would like to play Oblivion, but as you say, and as I indicated in the forums, it just feels really clumsy on the PC. I can only play it for about 10 minutes at a time before I get totally frustrated with it, and that's just plain wrong. I, too, considered plugging in my controller, but that would be sacrilege. What website do you use for the mods? Actually, I just kind of stole all mine off of FilePlanet. There's like a pack. Some guy just put together like a pack of shit.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, I can't. Overload is his name. I'm hoping that with the right combination of mods installed, I may be able to play without wanting to curse and throw my mouse or a Bethesda employee at the wall. Greetings from the gaming desert, Puppy. Now, it's funny because...
Just Google it. You'll find plenty of sites that have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's one I can think of what it looks like. It's kind of beige. I can't tell you what the website is called.
I think I know which one
but
you're talking about.
But it's beige is what it looks like. I remember that. And they had like a fuck ton of mods out there for it. I mean, they had, you know, topless chick mods, girl panty mods, everything from that to like, you know, UI mods like BT mod and dark UI.
The topless
there.
Chick mod one is kind of funny because those textures are already in the game.
Are they really?
That's not his texture. That's just like adding a line of code that takes
right.
out...
Like hot coffee style?
Yeah, yeah.
It's there, but not? Right. Nice. Good job, Bethesda. Anyway, I have the exact same problem with Oblivion. I have tried to mod this game into playability, and I can't do it. I cannot sit down and play this game for some reason for more than like 5-10 minutes without turning it off. And I'm not quite sure what I'm missing yet. And I keep looking at the mods, though, as if I'm just missing the mod that's going to save me. Mm-hmm. As if I'm going to find that one magical little thing. And now my game is so modded, it's not even Oblivion anymore, you know? It's like, Jesus. I feel like they dropped the ball. For the PC users, anyway. I imagine it's a fantastic console game.
A lot of people are liking it. I've had trouble playing it. There just feels like there's a little bit of magic missing somewhere.
Now, that's not to say, I mean, like, okay, there's plenty of people out there playing the crap out of this, though. And I don't understand, you know, I guess maybe it's just some of us were looking for something different. Mm-hmm. And I also know that I have a real hard time with games, RPGs, that don't let you have a party. I'm a big fan of having a party.
Right.
When I walk around by myself, I feel, like, lonely and, like, I don't know, like, I'm just out there and it kind of blows. So I don't know. I think that's probably my biggest issue and something I'll probably never get over.
We also might be a little more ruined by MMOs. Like, it feels like it should be an MMO because it's, like, a big world. And
single player. You're walking around with just yourself. No party.
Yeah, and we might just be kind of ruined from the MMO
Possibly. The evolution of these RPGs, I think. You know, like, we talked about this before and got a little bit of shit for it. Now, sure, Oblivion gives you, the player, the power. You are the one who saves the world, not your guild or whatever. That's fine, but there's elements from these MMOs that definitely could be adapted to these single-player RPGs, I think, and allow, you know, the whole genre to grow and expand. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a single-player RPG that has elements of an MMO. Dot Hack did fantastic, but maybe not. We don't need quite that whole party thing. There's a way to make it single-player where it still kind of feels real, I'm sure. And, you know, I don't know what things would be good or bad to take or whatever, you know. I mean, there's going to obviously be some things that just don't work out very well, but they need to look at other games that call themselves RPGs and see what worked for that game and see if they can't implement it into their game. I mean, they got to evolve these. And Oblivion, to me, does feel like, you know, an older RPG, even though it may look spectacular. Mm. And I even grabbed mods for the graphics to update the graphics on some of this stuff, like the natural... Oh, I can't remember what it's called now.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking
right.
about.
Right. It changes the sky and the water and shit, and it looks fantastic. It makes the game look that much better. Alas, I still can't play it. Okay, which is actually probably a good thing, I think, for the show, because we tend to get stuck on an MMO for, you know, a couple of months at a time, and it's like all of a sudden the most painful thing in the world for us to go out and try to find news and play other games, try to find something else to talk about. Since I've, you know, managed to quit playing World of Warcraft, it's like all of a sudden I'm like, oh wow, there's other games out there. And I've been checking other stuff out, and I think it's better for the show, and it's like, oh god, these games were fun. And I've been having actually a fantastic time. Speaking of games that people want to play one day, we have an email here from... Kid UK. It's Duke Nukem Forever News. Okay, and it's 3D Realms... Okay, well, the top of this here looks like a quote out of something. 3D Realms' George Broussard also demonstrated world interactivity that includes Duke standing in front of a computer and emailing the player if he provides his email address for the game. But according to the piece, Broussard was bashful overall about showing off the game, commenting the problem is that when we show it, people are going to be like, yeah, whatever. Honestly, at this point, we just want to finish it. That's exactly how I think it's coming down now. You know, nobody... I don't even care about this stupid game anymore. Just get it over with so we can find something else to make jokes about.
I didn't care a long time ago.
Yeah, right. It's been... Remember Daikatana was the big joke for a long time? You know,
and it failed miserably.
Of course it did. But it was great, though. We had some awesome jokes. Huh? Now we've got Duke Nukem jokes, but I want to make new jokes. You know, I'm ready now. We've heard the Duke Nukem Forever jokes.
I almost have to play it.
Well, everybody does, just to make fun of it now. Which at this point, they should just not do it. They should just be like, you know what? This game blows. You know, we fucked up. We're going to take what we've...
Over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take what we've learned and what we've done repeatedly, and we're just going to make a new game and just, you know, whatever. He does actually have a little section of his own thing here. It says, I'm excited to play the game if and when it comes out, but this is the latest bit of disturbing news on this epic sequel. After reading this article, I'm starting to fear it won't have many of the features that are now standard in all decent current first-person shooters. It is pretty apparent that they are rushing the game, which worries me the most. How do you rush a 10-year-old game? Ever since I heard about the game, I've been telling myself, as long as they don't rush it and stick to the same formula, it will be good. And now I'm starting to lose confidence. I do realize I can be criticized for saying they are rushing a game 10 years in the making, but if they cut too many corners trying to finish it sooner than later, there can be dire consequences. Thanks a lot for taking the time to read my email. Love the show.
And that's exactly what happens. That they took forever, over and over again, changing engine they're using, this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden, all right, we have to get this out, let's push it, push.
And did you remember reading something about the publisher saying that they were going to deliver X amount of $1 million or whatever to them upon delivery of this game, as long as it lands within the year?
Really?
Yeah, I remember reading, or maybe it was $500,000 or the rest of the contract or something. Right. They were going to pay them, like, a fat chunk of change here, put this goddamn game out. So, yeah, we'll see. This game's going to blow. this I think might be our winner email. In fact, I'm going to put that one last because I think it's the best one. All right, Oblivion Difficulty. This is from Trake M. I should start off this email by admitting that I'm not unbiased about the subject of Oblivion. I'm one of the people looking for a state where marrying Oblivion would be legal. See, there's plenty of people that absolutely... adore this game. Now.
And good for them.
Yeah, and I wish I was one of them. I wish I could just be hooked on this game. I've waited for so long and I saw so many things and it was like, damn. Now, down to the actual point of my email. I remember on your previous... Bastard. previous podcast that you said that Oblivion was entirely too easy. I've heard this comment coming from other people. However, for me it's been too difficult. Enemies are hardly damaged by my sword. The only way I can kill someone is if I have arrows and it's a fairly dark room where I can hit them about 10 times, each of the times with a x3 damage for sneaking. Lately I've been trying to level up my sword skill, which wasn't as fun for me as doing some of the sneak stuff, though I will probably kick ass once I get my sneak skill up a little higher and I can just start pickpocketing everyone's weapons. Yes, it can be done, but with only with a high sneak skill. Plus, this makes it very difficult to level up my sword skill. I've been doing it mainly by training. I don't think the problem is the game is designed to be too hard or too easy. I think the difficulty was done based on the wrong factors. It would appear, though I'm not sure, that the difficulty of the game is based solely on what level you are, and that is true. Thus, if you have spent all your time just leveling up your sword or blunt skill, you would be insanely powerful compared to your enemies. Meanwhile, if you've been leveling up your alchemy or sneak skill or something else that doesn't revolve around doing damage, your character will suck and do virtually no damage because your enemies leveled up in attack power and health, and you haven't gotten stronger and you haven't gained more health points, so you are totally screwed unless you lower the difficulty settings.
That's kind of an interesting point. It would have been probably better if they had based the different stats of an enemy based on the level of the opposing thing. Like, the enemy's HP would be based on this on the level of your sword skill, not your overall level.
Level, right. That would be pretty interesting. But he's right, though, because I've been reading, you know, that the enemies adjust their level.
Which is a good idea, especially with a completely open world. That means you can literally do anything, and yeah, it's the same challenge no matter where you go.
Yeah, which is pretty cool, because it gets old when you go back to that first place, and you just fucking smash everybody to pieces.
Or you accidentally walk into this one cave that ends up having like level 80 dudes in it.
Right, but see, I think that totally kind of screwed the game also, though, by lowering the level requirements of some of the stuff, you know? Because there was items that have levels.
Right.
And if you do that, you know, quest for that item at a certain point, you get the ghetto version.
Well, but they have the mod that fixes that scales it.
Shouldn't have to mod it, though. You know, and it's like, of course, that's part of my mod kit that I've assembled. You know, I've got this giant pile of mods that's almost bigger than the game installation now. You know, and the game isn't playable for me. It's just not. Okay, this is an interesting one here. This is from UT Soul Reaver. This has got rumor, vaporware, dreamer written all over it. And as much as I wish this was real, I really, really do. It can't be real. It can't be real. Possible Sega portable market reentry. I recently saw on a news site an article talking about a portable Sega device, listing the specs and a concept art picture. I'm really excited about this. I smell homebrew all over it if it has a compact flash and SD cards. I would like to see Sega re-enter the home market again. And he linked me a picture of the concept drawing for this,
which looks very, very non-professional.
Yeah, I guess so.
It looked
huh?
like someone just drew it.
Like a...
And usually concept art is like done with those special notepad computer things.
Not colored pencils.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was a good idea, though. It kind of looked like a little modification of a Dreamcast control with a flip-down face plate lid type deal, kind of like a DS. Entirely too big to carry around, though, it looked like.
Well, it depends on how big it is.
Right. Maybe I'm just thinking Dreamcast controller size, and that's what's fucking me up. I guess it was smaller. I guess it wouldn't be so bad. But I'm not so sure. But the specs of this thing, 566 megahertz Samsung processor. We assume it's ARM. Graphics, the successor to the 4500 Go NVIDIA chipset for low-power mobile devices. Input, it has a touchpad on it, an analog stick, four face buttons and shoulder buttons. Storage, compact flash and SD cards, presumably games will be on SD or similar. Connectivity, it's got USB, 128 megs internal, flash-based RAM possibly, screen, 640 by 360, 11 centimeters, that's 4.39 inches. Battery life, 3 hours currently being worked on, and video, Sega is working on DivX support. I don't know, it sounds too much like a dream. You know, like, this is what I would like to see, kind of, you know?
Yeah, but the problem
is... It's a good idea.
They have stats about what Sega is working on.
Sega wouldn't come out and say that. Plus, I don't know. I would like to say that I really have some faith in that. I really would. Because I adore Sega. I love them. I'd marry the company. But that's illegal.
If I was Sega, though, there's no way. I would not do it. You failed too many times.
Yeah, don't even bother. You're just going to lose a fuckload of money.
Yeah.
Don't
especially
even bother.
Especially in the portable market, you have
Nintendo
which is
with two items.
Yeah.
Yeah. The DS and the SP.
And the PSP, which is only, in my opinion, really being successful because of the homebrew market.
Oh, I guarantee it. That thing's useless otherwise. I have tried to use that thing as intended and I can't do it. you can't. There's, and now that they're talking, you know, some of the studios are like, oh yeah, UMD, you know, it's not really selling movies, so we're just gonna cut support for UMD movies.
Wait, who wants to buy the movies that are only gonna work on
that
the PSP?
That is a very niche market for that anyway. I mean, they should have known that that was a bad idea, but this is just Sony trying to get, you know, hey, buy more of our own stuff that only works on our own stuff, right. You know, so, I mean, you expect it from Sony, but you really expect it to succeed, you know, not always, so.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't bought a single UMD movie, and I still watch video on my PSP, so, yeah, go fuck yourself, Sony. So now this email, this kicks fucking ass here, because I love hearing about this kind of shit. This is from Dan Washko of Linux Link Tech Show fame. Hey there, on a recently passed episode, you'd mentioned you'd like to listen to our interviews. I absolutely love it. I'm not sure how you get our show, but I wanted to make sure you heard our Linux World Expo episodes from 2 weeks ago. Those shows only went up on our own feed and website. They are not on the BinRev or Hacker Media feeds, as I was too lazy and forgot to put them up on the site. So if you missed them, you can hit www.tllts.org for shows 130 through 140. Now, I have downloaded them. I haven't gotten around to them because I wanted to actually pay attention. Furthermore, if you have not heard already, now this is like the uber fat mega exciting part for everybody here. While you guys were pissing out your asses a few weeks ago, remember we were all sick, we were putting together Logger. That's capital L, lowercase a, capital G, capital E, capital R. Linux and Games / Entertainment Radio. The name pays homage to gamer. I even thought about calling it Lamer first, but did not want to give it a poor connotation right out of the gate. We have 4 episodes so far, with a 5th scheduled for this week, probably Sunday. The hosts are scattered throughout the US, Canada, and Europe. Yeah. Canada is your buddy, Zayfan. The Mighty Penguin roars. If you're ever interested in coming on, let me know. Oh, the website would be good. It is www.thelinuxlink.net/lager. Logger. Now, that is fucking awesome. That's from Dan Washko from the Linux Link Tech Show. And, I had missed that, cause I actually had, I listened to my radio weirdly. I download it all and hoard it, and then when I finally get a chance to listen to it, it's like days worth of podcast. Yeah. And so I'm actually considerably behind. In fact, the only thing that I'm actually on top of is Lag Radio right now. But this kicks ass because, see, we're too fucking lazy to get this together. And I've been wanting to do the show with Dan, at least get him on our show just to talk about Linux games for a while. And you know what happened? I pretty much didn't do anything about it.
I'd still like to, even though they have their own show.
I say they're he better off with that. We should go there. Only because I have no faith in us getting anything done.
Right.
Honest to God. I mean, you know, it's just that way. I just don't see it happening. I don't put enough time into playing games on Linux, and which is why I think this show not only has like the potential for a gigantic market, because like a lot of people want this. They want to know what you can play and everything. I mean, beyond Supertux, you know, I don't give games on Linux a shot, you know, and I don't even use that for that. That's my, it runs on my freaking PSP. So as soon as I can figure out how to change the controls, I'll be playing Supertux on my PSP an awful lot. You know, I just don't use it. I just don't see it. And that's one of my, I think I've said this before, 2 issues I have with Linux. I don't trust Windows for a whole lot, but you have to use it for games, and I use it for video encoding. Only because I pretty much have to. The video tools I find for that are far superior than the Linux stuff we've had. Now, granted, it's been a long time since I've looked. But also, you know, we've got like the DVD ripping stuff and the encoding stuff and all the crazy DivX and Xvid hoopla and all this crazy shit. It works really good. I got all the filters I need, all kinds of weird crazy ass tools, Windows only. Now I know there's stuff that runs on Linux for it, but when I tried it before in the past, it was shit. I mean, it was bad. The tools were not very good. And you didn't have the wide range either. And so, well, you know, one of the things in Logger here is Dan's gonna cover some of those tools because see, he screwed himself. By putting in that, and you know, entertainment part in there, he has to talk about other things like that, which I think is fantastic. Because actually, you made the perfect comment about this earlier, about content.
Right, right. We have everything under the sun. Consoles,
we left ourselves nice and wide open.
Windows, yeah. Movies, whatever the hell we want to talk about, and sometimes we don't know what to say.
We've got a hard time coming up with some things that are, you know, worth talking about, and we have the world at our disposal for game news. And, you know, and he's kind of narrowed his window down to Linux games and stuff like that. So there's going to be that, you know, either short shows, you know, maybe, or less or more content than others. But you watch this show kick the shit out of every other gaming show out there. Because what do you bet he winds up with interviews with, you know, developers of like Crystal Space and stuff. The guy, like, I'm supposed to talk to the guy. I've got his email address. Even Air talked to him for me. You think I've gone ahead and taken care of that yet? No. And it's just, it doesn't really, I don't know, our format has always been kind of fast and loose here.
Right.
And we don't even know if we're going to actually make the show that week half the time.
Right.
So it winds up like, we don't want to make, well, at least I don't know how you feel the same way, but I don't want to make any commitments because I have no faith in myself.
Oh, certainly. Like, you want to say, yeah, we'll do it this week, and then it doesn't happen.
And it doesn't happen.
We'll do it next week, and it doesn't happen, and suddenly we have no even option.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And we've pissed off somebody.
Mm-hmm. So that's why shit like that doesn't happen. And this is exactly why I never really got back to Dan and set him a hard date. We need to do this on this day. It's because I had all these things I wanted to do before we got to do the show. Never did any of those that led up to me even saying, hey, let's try to get this together by this day. Never happened.
He also has the benefit of it's all like freeware type stuff and not really as it's kind of tough for us to like get an interview with John Carmack.
Right.
He might get an interview with an executive producer of something that's like...
Like an open source game, right, or some kind of independent developer stuff, right? Yeah, definitely. Definitely stands a better chance than, yeah. But now that brings me on to an interesting topic here. Flank had a fantastic idea for us, and of course I'm going to drop the ball in the first week that we should have implemented this, but I'm going to at least mention it. This will kind of plant it in my head that I've committed to this, that we need to add a section to the show, which we've kind of managed to follow the same format, you know, whether it's a little bit of housekeeping type news if something happens on the website or whatever, then a chunk of email, and then maybe some news. And then previews, maybe demos that we've played or stuff we've read about, stuff to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And then actual reviews, and then like movies or, you know, whatever kind of random crap that we come across that we think, you know, people love to waste time with and entertain themselves with. Part of the gaming section, we need to add a section. So saith Flank, and he's correct, because this is a good idea. And it was funny, because when he told me about it, he was kind of almost like trying to talk me into it, even though I was sold on the idea ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You know, like... this might be a good idea, and you might want to try this out because it might play pretty well into the way that, you know, the style of your show. And I'm like, fuck, you know, we've been trying to do this, but we just don't pull it together. Yeah, I'm all over it. Then he, you know, you might really want to give it a shot. You know, and it wouldn't hurt. And I'm like, no, this is a great idea. It's like a homebrew section, or once a week, even we just take one game. You know, whether it's something somebody created on the Dreamcast or it runs on, you know, all other, you know, PC platforms or whatever the hell, you know, something that's not a commercial game. And if we just take even one, it would be really cool to look into a game.
We have been mulling over that idea for a while.
Yeah, that's why I was like, yeah, we need to do it. We just need to call it something.
It is a great idea.
And have a little section for it. No, it is. It's a fantastic idea. It's a great idea.
I mean, with the PSP alone, that gives us a lot of content to work on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, the PC market, there's a million things out there on the PC that we could, well, Windows anyway, particularly, that we could find stuff for. And that would work better for our show format as opposed to getting, you know, interviews with people and, you know, what have you. Mm. That would work better for us because it would allow us to, you know, basically dink around in our own time. You know, and come across something that's not in the spotlight, you know, that's not on the front page of IGN, you know, something like that, that we could at least present to all the listeners and say, hey, look, check this out. You haven't probably heard about this yet. Give it a spin. Now, my problem has been, and I'm going to put this out there because I need to pull the resources of the listeners here. Find me resources to find this. This was my issue with this, and right, this probably has been our issue overall, is that the chances of us finding something like that are pretty narrow because there's not like a just, you know, repository for this kind of thing. There's no SourceForge for games.
Right.
There needs to be games.sf.net. You know, there needs to be fucking FilePlanet open source version or something, you know, or right, independent. You know, there needs to be some kind of a place that we can pull from to where we don't have to spend 3 days out of the week looking for crap to play. We need to find a place where we can just go and then take a quick glance at some of the stuff that's out there and see which one seems interesting at the time, you know, and who knows? God, you know, if there's gotta be a place out there, right? You would think somebody would make this there should be, right? You know who's the man to do something like that? Hmm. I'm gonna sell him out right now. Kizzle. He's really good at pulling stuff together like this. Kizzle. All right.
You hear that, Kizzle?
Let's get busy. All right. Let's see. For the news this week, we have, you know, E3 crept up on me this year. All of a sudden, it's 16 days away.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Like, are you really?
Yeah.
About what?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. It's just that it's E3. It's like Christmas. You don't know what you're going to get, but it's cool.
Yeah.
It's Christmas. I see. I know what to expect. Nintendo's going to kick some ass, Microsoft's going to show some crap, and Sony's going to try to steal the show. That's all I can see happening here. There's nothing I'm all excited about.
Well, you never know.
Right. I guess that's the most exciting part.
The thing about E3 is generally, especially if you're paying attention, there's something that's going to blindside you. You know, holy crap, I didn't even know that was there.
That's true.
I didn't even know that existed.
That's true.
And E3 is how it happens, because people get, especially this time of year, the game developers get very tight-lipped until E3 comes out, because they want big explosions, they want fireworks.
Yeah, they want it to be just ripping through the news sites and all the game sites talking about it.
Yeah. So you never know what kind of little tidbit or new game or whatever is going to blindside you.
Duke Nukem Forever playable demo. Ghost. StarCraft Ghost playable demo.
You do know that that was dropped, right?
What? Ghost? Yeah. Somebody posted on the forums about that, so.
What an unfortunate name, though. Duke Nukem Forever.
Forever. That was just doomed from the start. But May 9th through the 12th is the whole ordeal. Hey, let's put a spot guest on the show. Who is this?
Yeah.
Who is it? Watch it be Ravana.
It is.
Cool. Put him on the mic.
No.
Yeah.
It won't even work.
Ugh. Yeah, you're probably right. Oh, you didn't answer it?
No.
I didn't. Suck it. All right. Moving along. Okay. Oh, this was actually from Kizzle, now that I've ruined his day. BioShock. This little game here that we got to read just a little bit about. Kizzle pointed it out to me yesterday, I guess it was, on IRC. Because it was supposed to be, now, the spiritual successor to System Shock 2.
Which means it has no, like, storyline ties or anything like that.
Right. And I guess you actually read a whole lot about it. I basically looked at the picture and went, whatever.
I read a 2-page thing that was a whole lot of hot air.
Was it?
Yeah, it was basically just saying, there's these, like, insect dudes, and you kill them, and you steal their DNA, and you turn it into, like, injectable serum that gives you different things.
That could be kind of cool.
Well.
That could be way cool, or it could be incredibly useless. But it's supposed to be along the same lines, still scary first-person shooter.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're big fans of System Shock 2, I can see this game is, you know, all of a sudden high up on your radar. And if you Google, for I never heard of it, so I pop in, you know, BioShock, one word, in Google. And sure enough, there's people that are losing their freaking minds since back in 2004 about this game. You know, they're just dying to play it. And then, of course, you know, there's all the guys, oh, it'll never happen, it's vaporware, and yada, yada, yada. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of information out there. It's not like there's more. And the screens, it wasn't like screenshots. It was like two concept arts and what looked like Photoshop or something. That you know, like GameStop had 3 pictures, right? Or GameSpot.
One of them might have been gameplay footage.
Yeah, it was hard to tell. It was cel-shaded.
Kind of cel-shaded.
But it very well could have just been drawn.
Right.
So I'm not really sure. But I don't know if that's a great idea or not. For a game like this, like a scary game that's all cel-shaded, I'm not so sure if that's... I mean, they're going to really have to pay attention to their artwork if it's going to actually be scary. Now, there's more to it than visuals. There's the whole audio scary thing, the creepiness of creeping around yourself and whatnot.
The mental tricks.
Yeah. I mean, they could definitely do a good job, but
I don't know. The picture we did see was very, I want to say, realistic cel-shading.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
You know,
I'll give
like,
you that.
It was like done.
It was good though. It looked good. If that's what it was, I have no freaking clue. Still, actually,
right. I don't know. It could be cool. I really like System Shock 2.
I have nothing to say. Yeah. I get tore up by Ribo every time I mention this game, so I'm going to go ahead and just slide into our next topic here. The super trailer for Prey is out.
Dun, dun, dun.
The super trailer, available this Sunday. Sunday, at your local File Planet. This fucking thing is called a super trailer, and it's a whole 3.5 minutes long or so. For the game Prey, that I know has been talked about for quite some time now. I remember when it was canceled, even, you know, and I remember seeing screenshots back then. So now, on the super trailer, we need some kind of effect for that.
Well,
like the echo.
Yeah,
super
echo.
Trailer, you know, but the cool one. So, anyway, I knew next to nothing about this game.
I didn't know much either.
Basically because I didn't think it was going to ever actually happen. You know, this was in competition for Daikatana and Duke Nukem Forever, you know. I just didn't think it was going to happen. So now that the super trailer's out, you know, we have to take it serious. I'm like, Jesus, when a game puts out a super trailer, look out. Okay, they mean business. Business, okay? Now, from what I can gather, now this blew my mind, you're like an Indian dude.
I think. It's tough to tell.
Yeah, it's very tough.
The narrator was Indian.
Yeah, right.
And he's talking to you like you have to go save your heritage or something weird.
Yeah, and there's spiritual stuff in there. Like, yeah. I remember seeing, like, ghosts or something, you know, like, and strange, maybe alien-ish type things out of the sky. It wasn't like a creature. It was more like light from the sky, and it was sucking people up into it. But it was all kind of spiritual and twisted. Now, the feeling I got from looking at the super trailer... God, we need to do that every time I say that. I need to figure that out. It looks like Turok meets Quake to me for some reason. You've got a bow. You know, there's no dinosaurs, though. You know, that's the Quake part.
It's like alien demonic Turok.
Right. And it had a Stargate. There was a Stargate there.
Or something.
Right. Yeah, it could have been a...
It also looked
flux capacitor
like
or something. Quake. I don't know.
It kind of also looked like a sphincter. A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what kind of demons we're fighting? Who knows from where they come? What side of the moon they come from? Yeah, I'm not so sure. But I'll tell you what, though. It did look fun. What I don't know about it, though, is, you know, is the whole, like, spiritual thing with some slow-talking Indian dude going to, like, offset the fast-paced action for me? You know, is that going to ruin my gameplay experience?
As long as they show a picture of him crying.
What the hell?
You don't remember from the 80s that Indian dude with the whole people were littering and he was crying?
Oh my God.
The famous Indian yes. thing? Yeah, there you go.
Holy shit. Okay. That would make it all right. Holy crap. Okay. Yeah, I can see that being entertaining. But I don't know. The game actually itself does look like a lot of fun, though. I mean, it's a super trailer, so you get lots and lots of gameplay footage in it.
There was actually quite a bit of gameplay footage.
Which I am a huge fan of. Gameplay footage is good. It's the way we know what we're going to buy.
I have a real problem with the, like, oversaturation of scary FPSs. It's like all we're getting.
Doom and Fear?
Well, granted, there's not a lot of FPSs coming out, but see, of this, the ones...
This is good, because I was going to bring this up.
What?
This was not planned. Watch this. This is real radio right here. No, I was going to say, I'm so happy there's another single-player first-person shooter coming out. Because I'm sick and tired of crap like, you know, all these multiplayer ones. That only, you know, everybody buys it for the multiplayer end of it. You know, they throw a crap a single-player campaign together.
True. And it is nice to just go blowing away,
you know,
things
which
in a like level that's designed.
Yeah, you know, like I played Doom and Fear recently. First-person shooters absolutely had a freaking blast. I remember for a while, all we saw was first-person shooters. You know, a couple of years ago, think of every game you heard about. Now, thankfully, it's moved on to MMOs, every game that's coming out, you know,
Right. Which
is nice because now I can look back at a first-person shooter and say, you know, I can enjoy this because I like them.
I don't know. It just seems like every single one that comes out is all, like, fear and doom based. Like
scary?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And it's great for them to happen now and then. I mean, it's a very valid and good gameplay. But does that have to be everything?
Well, I'll tell you what. Have you heard of you remember a game called Sin? S-I-N,
yes.
Back in the day.
I never got to play it, but I wanted to.
Right, same here. Right, I had a demo or something, I think, and it didn't run for crap on my computer. What happened with that was I thought they were done with it. You know, I mean, we never saw, like, you know, Sin 12 or anything.
Right.
It, like, stopped. Holy crap, my pen just ran out of ink, I think. Anyway, they're coming out with Sin episodes. And this is, I guess, like, you know how Half-Life 2 is going to release episode 1? Like a little pack. I guess it's like an expansion pack, though, but I don't... Is it small? And they're going to release a bunch of them? I think that's how it's supposed to work. So, anyway, Sin... And I remember we talked about this before. Episodic gameplay. Mm-hmm. Or games. Where they're going to release a 3-hour... Or, fuck, I want to say, like, an hour game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to take you 1 hour to get through Sin Episode 1. And then, like, in 2 months, they're going to have Sin Episode 2. Another hour of the continuing storyline. You know, so you're going to be paying $5 a pop, or let's say, for Sin this whatever the hell it's called. I can't remember. I don't think it actually had a name in what I saw anyway. Yeah, it says Sin Episodes. And File Planet actually had a video for episode one of, which actually looked pretty neat. It wasn't all scary though. You know, I mean, they had a spaceship flying down with a Gatling gun shooting at some people in a car. And you were shooting, you know, you weren't driving, you were shooting out of the car and the computer guy was trying to save you. So it wasn't all scary and whatnot. You know, I mean, it was more just like a shoot 'em up, you know?
You know, especially if it's nice and storyline driven, and there's actually good solid plot, that could actually be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We get these TV shows that we get into that cut you off at the end of the hour, and then
Prison Break, anyone?
Yeah, you're like, holy crap, what the fuck's gonna happen? And that break in between those times, is what really drives you to want to know.
And Desperate Housewives is like that. We can all look forward to the game for that soon.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
So it should be interesting to see how that actually plays out.
If it pans out as something very useful.
Plus, it's also very easy to spend $5 every couple months.
As opposed to a 50 on a game that might blow, you could blow 5 on a game that might just rock your world. Now, I tell you what, though. I'm already against this, and I shouldn't be. I've already set myself up for this game is going to piss me off, right? Okay, the game might be fun, but I'm going to be so angry that it's going to take me 6 months to play a game that would normally take me 8 hours.
It is also true that if you're, like, really digging on the gameplay and you just want to play more, and well, now you can't.
Now, not everybody has more than 2 hours at a time to play a game in any given week. You know, fuck, I've spent 4 hours in the last 2 weeks playing games. That's all I've had. That's it. Bam. That's my chunk of games I had this week. The rest of the time was spent, you know, well, I had to format my machine and reinstall my software. That took like 2 days because I don't have a whole large groups of time to do this sort of thing. You know, and then other crap happened and it's just like it didn't happen for me. So, you know, I probably wouldn't have been able to play it all the way through anyway had I had the full, you know, Sin game. So it would have been, you know, okay for me to have just the episodes. But I'll tell you what, when I get that chunk of time, when I get that 8 hours, when I get my day off and there's nobody bugging me and there's no phone calls, I want to play that game all day long. Mm-hmm. And if I'm limited to 2 hours because that's all they released, I'm not going to even want to start the game until I have them all.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to be really upset. And I guess this is going to be available on Steam. So anyway, I don't want to talk too long about something so short, but it's going to be something we're going to see probably more of in the future, though. I mean, based on, you know, kind of where we're headed, I see a lot of people these days complaining about not having enough time.
Maybe it would be better if it was in shorter intervals.
Like, rather than waiting a month, wait 2 weeks.
Or even a week. Just like,
right.
To just add that bit of suspense and like what's going to happen next. Because that could be kind of cool.
That could be really, okay. Now you're onto something. Because then it becomes just like a TV show.
Right.
Think about like how captivated the world is by Desperate Housewives, Lost, or Prison Break is right now.
Uh-huh.
There's forums going absolutely ape shit right now all over the place about, oh my god, did you see what happened so-and-so on episode whatever?
People like wondering what's going
right.
to happen next. And I think if they do it quickly enough, it might actually be a pretty cool idea.
That? Actually, okay. I think you've discovered the perfect episodic game there, right? That would be, I think, anyway, the way to do it. I really do, because then that would give everybody a chance to get to the same points, as opposed to going onto a forum right now. Like, honest to God, I look at the Tomb Raider forums, and it's like, day one, there's people talking about, oh, I'm finished already.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just like, everybody else is like, whoa, hold on
no
now.
No spoilers.
Yeah. I don't want to read this, because, you know, hey, I'm on level two, you know?
Right. So but everybody could be at the same point and be like, discussing, what the hell's going to happen next?
That could be good.
Yeah. And so I think it's actually a good idea if it's done right.
Dude, you're onto something with that. All right, that's a good... See, we should cut that out and save that for our ideas, right? Famitsu, world-renowned... Well, Japanese-renowned famous magazine.
Wasn't he move? Oh, never mind. I was thinking... Never mind. I thought Fujikoma for a second. I thought, didn't he move?
Oh. Famitsu, anyway, reported rumors that Sega would be developing a sequel of Nights into Dreams for the Revolution. That's pretty big news because Nights into Dreams had a huge following on the Saturn, the Sega Saturn. That was a really popular game. It was beautiful at the time. It was really damn cool. And for a long time, people have wanted a sequel for this. And now the guy, you know, Yuji Naka, like I'm sure everybody knows his name. He's left Sonic Team. Anyway, rumors say he's left Sonic Team, like the group, right? Those guys responsible
for that.
He's
still in Sega.
He still works for Sega. And he's now part of a new development studio for Sega. And they don't know what his projects are. which very well could be.
Sega doesn't know?
No, no, Sega knows, but nobody's released what they're working on. Right, yeah. Yeah. How about I work for you guys? I'm just going to figure something out. Cool.
We'll let you know when I'm done.
I'm that good. All right. But that's exciting news for some people who are way into Nights into Dreams have been waiting this long for a sequel.
I don't even know what it is. What is it?
I think Sonic.
Okay.
It kind of reminded me of Sonic. Okay. It just kind of, that same idea. Right, yeah. Okay. Kind of flying around fast and pretty and lots of jingly noises when you're picking up stuff. Right.
Cool.
Castlevania Portrait of Ruin for the Nintendo DS. They should call this like Game of Life Ruining or something, because people will fucking buy this game and not do anything for like a month. Mm-hmm. Because if it's anything like the past Castlevanias have been, particularly
Dawn of Sorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be spectacular and one of those must-have titles, I feel, for the Nintendo DS. What little information I was able to dig up on this game, you got two different characters. One of them's a vampire hunter named Jonathan Morris. Should have been Norris, though, and you could have made all kinds of Chuck Norris jokes. And Charlotte Orlene, a young girl with magical abilities. You're fighting against two evil vampire sisters, that's kind of hot, who are trying to resurrect Dracula. The game remains 2D, and you can switch between the characters if you need to based on the situation. So if you need, I guess, you know, some physical damage, brute force, whatnot, or a puzzle, you can use, you know, Jonathan Norris. And if you needed some kind of magic and, you know, sparkly stuff and little fairies or whatever, I guess you could use the young girl with magical abilities. I guess also now your characters can summon some demons. Was that something you had in the other one?
More or less, you got like these orbs from creatures that you killed, and you like could equip them, and then you would be able to summon them to do different things. Like there
that
was,
sounds like this. Okay.
There was one that would like allow like you press the button and he popped up and allowed you to float instead of just falling.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, this what I did read sounded kind of combat based. So I don't know if
there
were
some of those too. Like gotcha. you would throw them up, like throw one that was like this funky like skeleton snake dragon type thing that would just kind of fly around killing whatever it ran into.
Opening a can.
Right.
Nice. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. I guess this is due out sometime this year. Further driving home the you must own a Nintendo DS. I have been listening.
Of course you must.
I have been listening to Dual Screen Radio. Mm-hmm. And I'm hooked on it. It's a great show, dualscreenradio.com. Shane R. Monroe and the other guy, I can never remember his name. I think it's Chris something. I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble because I can't remember now. I think the two of them do such a good job together because the way they kind of go back and forth on the you know, games out for the DS and everything. And the last show that they had up there was specifically about... See, Shane got his hands on, he imported a DS Lite. Mm-hmm. And the whole show was dedicated to the DS Lite. And if you look on their website, he's got pictures of everything. I mean, like, you name it. He's got, like, 20 different games. You know, well, maybe not that many, but there's a bunch of pictures of different games, different brightness settings so you can see it, different brightness settings versus the GP2X, brightness settings of the DS Lite versus even the original DS. He's got, you know, I mean, everything you could possibly think of, he's got a picture for it and a video showing the games, which is, it blows my mind. One of the things they said on the show was it looks so good, it looks fake. You think about when you're watching TV or you see an ad, it looks like they just kind of photoshopped the picture in there. Mm-hmm. Dude, they weren't lying. You watch his video, a video of the DS Lite. Mm-hmm. And it's not like an IGN video where they have some kind of way to export just the video of the game. Right. He had to set up his camcorder and video the screen. It's amazing. Like, I'm just in complete awe of how good this goddamn thing looks. And he went on to describe all the physical characteristics of it. I mean, how each button feels. And it's like, I'm salivating for one of these damn things. And they're not even out yet, you know, here in the US.
Right.
Some of the websites, I guess you can, like Lixang, or however the fuck you're supposed to pronounce that, you can pre-order or import from them.
Right.
At additional cost, of course. But, I'm like dying to play one of these things now because there's all of a sudden quite a few games now on the DS that I just like, I want to play. Like that new Tetris game, Super Mario Brothers. I got to fool around with Space Invaders, mm-hmm. just a hair, just for a minute, and it was all right. I mean,
you also know, want the Mario Kart.
Mario Kart, the Castlevania games. There's something else on there too I wanted to play, but I don't know. There's a
lot of stuff, so, actually.
See, there was a few for me. It still doesn't outweigh the PSP, in my opinion.
Well,
I have a portable Super Nintendo, Genesis, TurboGrafx-16, Nintendo Entertainment System, Game Gear, Sega Master System, Game Boy, and Super Tux.
There's certainly something to be said about that. But these are new games.
These are new games. Right, right, right. But
the PSP has no new games.
They got new games. They're bad ports of their PS2 counterparts. There's two games that are good for it, or at least one that I can name. I like the Burnout game for it. Is it Burnout Revenge or Burnout 3? I can't remember.
Okay, but
is it Burnout 3 Takedown or is it Burnout Revenge? I can't even remember.
I thought it was its own name.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, maybe you're right, and it's just like Burnout 3.
It's just like Burnout 3, but it's got its own name.
But something else, maybe? Dude, I can't believe I can't remember that. But that's fun. That's a blast. Untold Legends got so old for me so quick. I had a good time with it, though, and got about half of the levels beat, and then I was just like, I can't go on anymore. So it's like I had to find something else to move on to, which we will actually cover here in a little bit. But we do have, it looks like, actually two more pieces of the news. Joystick, a fairly popular website for game news and whatnot, has one of their nice little unofficial polls that somehow makes giant news everywhere, so I felt I had to talk about it, you know, because you know how these little websites come out with polls. Whether or not it's a large website or a small website, you're talking about, you know, 14,000 people here that have filled out their answer on this poll.
Right.
So it doesn't really mean shit. You know, how many attendees to E3 are there going to be?
I don't know.
A couple thousands, we know. Not no 14,000 people are hardly the industry. However, what's interesting about this little poll, the 14,000 people that did take their little poll, it was something ridiculous. Like, 90% were interested in what Nintendo had to say, and like 7% in what Sony had to say.
Really?
Which was encouraging, I guess, you know, seeing that Nintendo is that high up on the list.
And this is not like a Nintendo-centric place.
No, no, I mean, it's kind of everything. Yeah. So just to kind of see that Nintendo is generating some excitement, I'm pretty happy because I fall into the same category, and I did go ahead and click on their Nintendo just to throw in my vote because I really do care what Nintendo has to say.
Well, and what do we have? We have the Sony PS3, which is people are excited about it, but it's nothing new.
No, it's going to be Crash Bandicoot 10, GTA 9. I posted this on our forum.
It's very pretty old stuff. What Nintendo is about to put out is brand new. We got no idea what the heck is really going to happen with this, and people are excited.
This
people
is
want
why
to know.
I'm excited because if Nintendo can tell me, okay, Sega or Sony can tell me, Sony is going to sit here and say, we're going to change the face of games. Okay, what are you going to do? Well, look at how pretty Unreal 2007 is. Look at how neat the next GTA game looks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're literally changing the face.
Right, exactly. Nintendo is actually going to try to change how we play those games. Now, that to me is just boggling. That's if they can change the way that I interact with a game, and it's for the good, you know.
Right.
And there's no saying that this is going to be a success here, okay?
No,
Nintendo,
and change for change's sake is not good.
Right, no. But they're going to try something, and they're going way out on a limb here. This is what they're going to try to sell the Revolution with here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Nintendo's pretty good about putting out weird, crazy shit like that. I mean, they had the Super Scope Bazooka, the Power Glove, the Power Pad, the DS with the touchscreen, you know, a funky controller design, kind of, for the Revolution. You know, we don't know what we're going to see here yet, but it's exciting. Because if it works just once, if they stumble across that amazing thing, then all games are going to change. Sony is going to have to all of a sudden release a new controller for their PS3.
Oh, and they will. They already
they
have.
Will. Remember when they had the PS1? They added the analog sticks later on after Nintendo had the 64 with the 1 and the Dreamcast. All of a sudden, bam, Sony comes along.
And, you know, although in the past, those little added things like the game pad that you stepped on. And
they were added.
Right. And the glove and all this other stuff didn't really work. It didn't really pan out any of it. But the DS, which is a considerable amount of the things that the Revolution is going to have and where it's getting its ideas from, is a huge success.
Right, right.
And it's doing quite well, and it's bringing in some rather interesting gameplay.
It's doing amazingly well. Actually, I was looking, oh, fuck, and I didn't get them either. I saw the Japanese charts for, I think, last week, and it's like the top 10 games sold, 7 of those are DS games. Then there's, like, 2 PS2 games and a fucking Game Boy Advance game on there, you know? And it's just like, wow!
Because the DS games are actually new.
And
they're actually different.
Right. And they're actually fun. Imagine that. So, I don't know. Hopefully Nintendo pulls through here. I got a little bit of news right here about, George Harrison from Nintendo of America. He gave an interview to Game Informer, and he touched on a few things here that we should know about Nintendo. The Revolution price may not be announced at E3 2006. Okay, so it's still speculation if this thing's going to be $150, $200, or maybe $400. We don't know. Okay.
We know it's not going to be $400.
We're sure, but we're not sure. Nintendo, you know,
Nintendo has
not going to be that expensive.
But we know it's not going to be $400.
It's not going to be, right.
At absolute most expensive is going to be $300, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I'll agree with that.
And I'm going to guess it's going to be $200, $250.
Yeah, $200, $250 sounds way more reasonable. Nintendo is also, thank God, against the $60 pricing strategy for these new games. Have you seen, you know, like all the 360 games are $60 and half the friggin' computer games are $60? Nintendo doesn't like that, which is cool, you know? I'm all for keeping prices as low as possible. Electronic Arts, everybody's favorite publisher, apparently has multiple Revolution games to show off at E3.
Nice.
Yay, Madden. So we know the console's gonna be a success right out the gate. Third parties are wanted to fulfill genres Nintendo can't. So, everything but, you know, a Mario game. It looks like they're looking for people.
Which is great. I really hope Nintendo gets rid of this whole as few third-party games as possible thing.
Get Square back on your side.
Yeah, get all kinds of stuff back on your side.
Okay, how about this one? They've been talking with Rockstar.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know what to think of that.
I'm also glad they're throwing away the whole kitty thing. Have kitty games. Most definitely.
Just don't market the whole thing as that.
Kids need video games too.
That's right. We were all kids once, you know.
But that doesn't mean that the whole system should be nothing but that.
Right. Now, remember the Game Boy Advance and the GameCube connectivity deal with the cable?
Right.
Did anybody actually use any of that? I have the cable.
I think it's still in the box.
Right. So anyway, George Harrison here admits it was a failure and basically they're not working on Revolution and DS compatibility right now, any kind of connectivity anyway.
But again, it was they tried to do something. It just happened to not work.
Right, it happened to not work. Move along. At least they're trying, okay? And I'm ripping this one right off the site. Although the focus this year will be on the Nintendo DS Lite, the Game Boy shall return. Yeah. Whatever the fuck that means. I don't know. And, that was it. I thought I had one more. But that's it.
Well, they said that the DS is actually considered to be outside the Game Boy name.
Exactly. It's just like this extra thing, which I could see as a good marketing point, because imagine if it didn't work. They could Virtual Boy it.
Right.
DS what? You know, I mean, there's a chance it would have been a colossal failure.
Yes.
You know, so hey, let's not have it tarnish the Game Boy brand because we're going to try something completely different here. So, you know, I could totally see why they did that. So, but we're getting pretty pressed for time all of a sudden. So, EVE Online, that we've actually been getting thrashed about because we can't seem to get it through our thick skulls. Thanks, Osimo and Aphex. Okay, so there's no levels. Great. So you level your skills. Yes. It still sucks.
I am on the 14-day trial. I started yesterday evening, like 45 minutes before the daily server shutdown.
Ooh.
Every day, like it looks like 4 a.m. PST, there's an hour shutdown.
Ew.
4 a.m. is pretty late, though. That's a pretty low.
Yeah, that is a pretty good time, though, I guess.
If you're going to do it, 4 o'clock in the morning is
Pacific time is a good time to do it.
And you say, all right, I want better missiles. I want to be able to equip better missiles on my ship. So I click on the better missiles, and I have to wait however many hours, real time. Now, the problem I have with this, I mean, it's a decent system, except for the fact that it is a literal direct correlation between how good I am and how long I pay any subscription.
It's pay.
Right. Because it's real-time hours. Like, you could go to sleep that night and say, I want to do this, and let's say you have a brand-new character, and so you have level one skills, and it's all, like, low time. And so I want this, and it's going to take 4 hours. I go to bed, I wake up in the morning, and I have that skill.
Jesus God.
I don't like it.
I don't like that either.
Now, the overall idea of the game, I think, is pretty cool, and I will have to give the 14 days a try and see, because barring the fact that I don't like the way the skills level up, it still could be pretty cool.
Right, right. Yeah, it still very well could be fun, but that's kind of a shit system. I don't like that at all. But I'm done talking about this stupid game. I'll never play it. I won't even give the demo a try, the trial. I can't do it. I can't see me enjoying it anyway. Well, it's not my genre either. You know, I just don't.
You'll have to talk about it one more time after I got the 14 days in.
And then
we'll let you know what I think.
I'm drawing the line. Okay. Tomb Raider. Okay. I talked about the demo for this before and about how much fun I had with it. The Tomb Raider Legend game, mm-hmm. and I was shocked. It was actually good. And it actually ran spectacular on my machine as long as I did not turn, because I have an NVIDIA-based video card, as long as I did not turn on that, oh crap, what's it say? Next generation content flag. I turned that on at 1280 by 960 with all the pretty bells and whistles going. I go from a solid 60 frames to like 8 to 10. And there's something wrong with it. It does not look right either.
It's all the shadows. I think it's the shader 3.0.
It very well could be, and I haven't figured that out yet because their patch notes didn't tell me a goddamn thing either.
Because when you showed it to me, when you clicked it on, 100% of what was wrong with it was the shading.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, the shading on the pixels was all funky, and the shading when she moved her arm was very jagged, and it was all a shading problem.
But this doesn't happen on ATI. If you've got ATI, apparently you can flip that little fuck you. And you know what the worst part is? I know I'm going to wind up with an ATI card here soon. As much as I hate them,
you don't hate them. They're good cards.
No, they're not. They suck, and their drivers blow. But the price that I could get the cards for outweighs the day or two I'm going to have to fuck with their drivers, you know? So it's like...
If you have that much of a problem, just go to Omega.
Yeah, hey, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. So anyway, Tomb Raider put out the 1.1 patch, which was supposed to help with the problem. And I have seen a 2 frames per second increase since the 1.0 to the 1.1 with the next generation content flag on. And it also fixes some controller issues, it said, and improves stability. I didn't really have controller issues before. I have a 360 controller. The only issue I have is I can't use the two buttons I want, the triggers. You have to use the shoulder buttons, apparently. And as far as the increased stability goes, I was showing Kobar here kind of just where I was at and some little things about the game. And it froze on me.
For the first time.
For the first time. And I'd played the crap out of this game previously on 1.0. So I don't know what the fuck the hell they did, but they broke the game. But I will be able to give an actual review. We gave a little preview last week, or last show, about the demo version. I should be able to do a review, time permitting, that I get to be able to play this damn game, because it's actually fun. I'm shocked. I had to verify with other people. Like, I straight up asked people, is it just me? Or is this game actually good? And they were like, I'm actually enjoying this game. So I think they might have a winner on their hands here.
I want to play it, but my controller sucks, and I have to.
You had that little funky SciTech one, don't you?
No, I actually think it's like Power Games.
Oh my god!
Game system.
Okay, go buy a 360 controller. Dude.
Yeah, I know.
You will make sweet love to it every night.
That thing that I paid $10 for has a lot of gameplay time on it, though. I played that Final Fantasy with it, and hours upon hours upon hours.
Right, and it served its purpose.
It did.
I'll give you that. But the $30 Xbox controller I have, I put more hours onto it than you did.
Yes.
And it's still going strong. And it shows no signs of having any issues still. So,
certainly.
So, I'm a big fan of real, actual hardware. Not this $10 controller. I don't know why. I just, but everybody knows what hookers we are for good controls here and good input devices.
Well, when I bought the controller, I was not sure if I was going to actually be playing Final Fantasy. I was just like, I'll give it a shot. I don't want to invest too much into this.
I might still have that Logitech dual analog stick around here somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
You can have it. I'll never fucking use it again. I have a 360 controller. Yeah, no way. I'll never use it. I might have given it to somebody, though, because somebody said they wanted it. But if I think I still have it, so you can have it. I don't want it. I'll never use it. All right. We have... I'm so tired of talking. Why don't you... We have to do it in order. Preview, then reviews.
Right.
Okay. For the PC... Ye Almighty Game has laid a demo down. This is the super demo. Okay. Heroes of Might and Motherfucking Magic 5 has finally come out with a demo for us. It's version 0.9, so it's not quite complete yet. The game is due, I guess, May 23rd or something, so I'm basically just waiting for that day. My existence does not matter until that day. I have 1 month and a day to go. No, exactly 1 month from the day to go. And I have actually, I downloaded a whole bunch of demos a couple of weeks back just to check them out, and I noticed something about them. I was done with them, and I had them installed, played through, and uninstalled within an hour.
Well, they were also demos for like 6 hour
action
games
or something, right?
Or okay. 3 hour games in the case of Black,
right?
And you can't expect a demo to be that long.
I have spoken to somebody about Black. In fact, the same guy I was playing Space Invaders in the DS with, and he said, "There's no fucking way the game is that short." He said because you go through it and then it like adds levels, like so you can keep going through it and like there's unlockable stuff to get the full story.
Okay.
Yeah, so he said it can be considerably longer, not just play it on easy and fucking hammer through the first, you know, X amount of levels. But we're not here to talk about that yet because I still have not played that game, and I got a demo sitting right here, and I really, really, really want to check out that whole 10 minutes of just pure ecstasy, I think. So, Heroes of Might and Magic 5 demo, version 0.9. As far as negative things for this game go. Okay. I have noticed that on my machine, for whatever reason, and I have put a good, solid, probably 10 hours into this now, and remember, I didn't have shit for time in the last couple weeks. I have been playing on... I did one of the maps, and then I've been kind of fooling around with the other two, not really serious yet or anything, just kind of putzing around, getting a feel for things, and checking things out. They only give you two races to play in this, but there's it seems like most of the creatures are there, though, because you get all kinds of weird stuff. It's just like the Heroes of Might and Magic you've always loved, though. But with a weird crash bug that when I click on the end turn button, which also doubles as the exit button, like if you're looking at your army or like in your town, I get thrown back to Windows. Just click it, bam, I'm staring at my desktop, game shut down.
Not always, though.
No, just randomly. Like one time it happened 3 times in an hour, one time it didn't happen for like 6 hours.
Mm.
You know, in the same day even. You know, right. So it's like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing to cause this, and I'm pretty sure that it's something I'm doing. Because it always seems like when it happens, it's a surprise to me because I was zipping around fast.
Right.
You know, like, if I'm taking my time, it doesn't seem like it happens. But as soon as I'm like, bam, 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 clicking in my town, buying shit really quick, exit to get back to the screen, whoosh, back to your desktop. But, you know, granted, they've got a month still. They've got 6 weeks from the time they put the demo out, roughly. And it's version 0.9. So, I mean, there's still some things to work out yet. Other than that,
they flat out could have had the 1.0 version done when they released the demo.
That's a possibility, too, right? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, but I'll tell you what. It's a turn-based strategy game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people groan when they hear that. Oh, my God, it takes forever. I haven't got a chance to play the multiplayer for this yet, but my understanding is they actually let you do stuff while it's not your turn.
Really?
Which is way cool. Like, you can just be like, bam, you know, I'm going to plan out my moves. This is what I'm going to buy, and this is what I'm going to do. And then it's your turn. Tring, you're done.
That is actually a really good idea to be able to do the like maintenance part of your turn.
Exactly.
While it's not your turn, and then it actually takes effect.
Right. That'll be way cool. You
that
know,
is like, good. Not only will that shorten the person's turn that's actually playing, but it'll shorten the overall time.
Yeah, because, I mean, it used to take hours. I mean, days. Not even hours. Hours is a fucking lie. It would take days sometimes to play a super giant-sized map, you know, extra-large map, two people sometimes.
I don't know how people handled actually going and, like, randomly picking, hey, anybody want to play with me?
Yeah, I don't know how that works out well either. But now, the multiplayer, you don't have to know, like, a direct IP address to connect to like you did before. Now you can hook up to ubi.com, and it has, like, a little player thing for you. So they've finally brought Heroes into like the you know, new era anyway. You know, we've got online play supported by the company, yada yada. It looks way cool. The game itself plays exactly like everybody I think that loved Heroes 1 and 2 and 3 wants it to play. It plays a lot like Heroes 3, not like Heroes 4, which it seems like almost nobody liked, and myself included. I hated the game. And when I actually got to sit down and spend some time with Heroes 5, I was shocked. Because it is spectacular. It's just like playing the game, but you've got like, you know, you can rotate the camera all over now. It's actually 3D.
It's very nice.
You can zoom in and zoom out. It looks beautiful. The creatures are just way cool looking. I don't know if you've zoomed up in during your combat and watched them fight and everything. The combat is not so boring anymore, like visually. You know, it used to just, you know, you say, okay, this guy attacks that guy and, you know, pow, he shoots him with his crossbow or whatever. And you see the creature go, and it like takes 4 points of damage or whatever. Now, like, that first time that creature gets shot by that dude in combat, it, like, zooms up, and you see the arrow come flying through him, and there's this, you know, effect when it hits him and whatnot, and you see, you know, how many units die and everything, and it's, like, really animated
and
really
cool. Or you can turn that off if it's taking too much time and you just don't care.
Which, at some point, everybody will.
Yeah.
I'm dead sure, because you will see every creature at some point get hit by every other creature at some point, and you won't care anymore, you know? But it is really, really, really cool. It's a lot of fun to watch.
But that's like music. Eventually, especially if you're playing a game for months on end, you eventually turn the music off. That doesn't mean you don't want no music to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. So
I have a problem with the way the towns are set up. Is there a way to make it like more traditional, like a
flat?
I don't necessarily care if it's flat, but like a better view and quit twisting around and like.
Yeah, you know, when you come into the town and it's kind of giving you the visual of the town, you can stop that if you click on something. It just kind of goes and it zooms into the one place and it goes to the end of its little animation is what happens if you click on something.
And it's weird because there'd be like I would click on an area and like there'd be this huge like set of buildings like shaped in an L, like spacing, like going over the whole like city. That would be one building, and it was like tough to tell, and it was all one color, and it was tough to tell where the buildings were, and
what
building was what.
Because you don't necessarily need all that. On the other previous Heroes games, it was a 2D screen layout of your town.
Right.
So that when you would buy the barracks, so you could make, you know, the basic footman soldier guys, you saw where it was really clear and easy, and you could click on that to buy your footman units.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the other Heroes games, though, if you click on whatever the hell part of it is, it's like the fort part, I think. It's an interface to buy all of the available units. So rather than searching around to find, oh fuck, where are my griffins at? You know, oh Christ, where the hell did I put my peasants? Where can I buy those guys? Well, it's at the farm. You can't quite see the farm sometimes, the way the camera's angled or whatever. So what? You don't use that anyway. You click on the little barracks thing and it shows you, in a 2D format, like the faces of all your creatures.
And so I just missed that button.
You just didn't click on that one thing. Okay. Right, yeah. And then basically it says, okay, you know, here's your, you know, six boxes of the creatures you can buy, and you've got maybe only three available. So it shows the faces of the three that you have available, okay, and then it tells you how many are available, and then whether or not you can buy the advanced upgraded versions of those units.
And the same for, like, magic and whatnot. There's a button up there that
there's a that. There's a mage place for it, and the button for the mage place, I think, is on the bottom left-hand side, because you're on the down on the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, you can access all the functions of the town on the menu down there.
Okay.
They're so, all down there.
So I could use the town, the whole 3D town thing could just be a nice effect that I could.
I didn't use it.
All the functionality
is on the
menu. Is in buttons.
Right, right. All that stuff is down there on the buttons somewhere.
Good. I just managed to not look at that.
There is even
in Heroes 3, I always clicked on the buildings on in the picture.
Noob. There's and just like in Heroes 3, there's a purchase all. So when you hit that barracks thing or the fort or whatever the hell it is, and you see all your creatures, and if you could just have gobs of money, there's a purchase all button.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hit that, and pow, you've got all your dudes that you could possibly buy. So you don't have to click on each one, and it will buy the upgraded ones and not the ghetto ones, you know. So, I mean, it's speedy. I mean, they've done great work on the interface. It's much improved since the beta or the alpha or whatever the hell that was out for a while.
That interface was horrid.
It was pretty bad. So, yeah, I mean, they have made the overworld is beautiful. Everything is bright and colorful. Looks like a happy little place. Then you go underground, and it's all spooky and scary and dark, and there's all kinds of freaky shit down there. Then you go back upstairs, and you're looking at, like, you know, the crazy lava place with ash and a bunch of... I mean, it's really well done, and every place... I swear to God, it's just like the natural progression of Heroes 3. It really looks like that's just what we should have had for Heroes 4, you know, and...
Only even better looking.
Right,
it's
later on, right. And it's just, I am so absolutely happy. Everything is so nicely animated out there, too. You know, there's little cutscenes and stuff, you know, when you're doing the campaigns and whatnot. Now, I've been on the Ubi forums, so I spent about 2 seconds there before I got tired of all the whiners complaining about this game. And you know what their complaints are? It's hard.
Really?
That is not a valid complaint. Put it on easy and shut the fuck up. Okay? You just want to play it on normal and say that you beat it on normal because you don't want to say, I beat it on easy. So they want to complain that they can't beat normal with no effort. I did not beat that. Whatever the hell the first map is, it's mission 5 of like one of the campaigns, the first map that you can play in the demo. And it took me fucking hours to like nail it down. Now, granted, I was learning the game as I was going, so it was like extra rough on me. You know, it was a little hard, and you know, you got to learn what your units do, learn how you work your magic in this and everything. Your hero can fight now, but he can't be directly attacked, which is pretty cool because you can just have him like roll up on somebody and bitch slap him. It's pretty cool, and it shows him roll up on his horse and wham, you know, knock him out. It's way cool, but it is hard. It did offer a challenge. Why is that bad?
Yeah, normal is supposed to offer a challenge.
Right. It's not supposed to just walk you through the game.
Easy is supposed to be walking through the game.
Right.
That's... Normal is supposed to be an average and solid challenge, and hard is supposed to be, oh my God, you're Uber.
Right, yeah. You are the fucking man. You've got this dialed in, and you can pull this off. Maybe. That should be hard. Normal offered me a challenge. I would play. It has an autosave feature, so at the end of every turn, it saves for you, thank God, because of the random crashing I had, which wasn't bad. I mean, if I played a total of 12 hours, I'd say I probably saw it crash 5 or 6 times. It wasn't all the time by any means. It was just fucking totally random and off the wall.
I imagine they'll have it fixed.
I sure hope so. And if not, hey, no big deal. I mean, you know.
I can't remember any Ubi games that I've been overtly pissed off about a bug.
I can't either. So I'm incredibly excited for this game when it comes out.
There's also some good news for everybody involved.
This has to do with Star Force, doesn't it?
Yeah. The rumor, at least, is I don't think I've seen.
No,
any
they
official.
Have come right out.
They have
and said, "Fuck you." Yeah.
Ubi dropped Star Force. They were basically the biggest development house, or rather, publishing
house.
They
lost a lot of places too. Star Force had a couple other places drop them too at the same time. Yeah, that's sweet. That's no funky ass kill your box copy protection on Heroes 5 and future Ubi games. The thing
if
set.
You pay for it,
you know. Yeah, I know.
It's gonna screw your box if you pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, another little preview section here. I've actually managed to play for about a good, probably 4 hours now. Tales of Eternia for the PSP. A real, honest-to-God, actual PSP game. Not just some weird, you know, homebrew deal I was fooling around with on this thing.
Those exist?
Yeah, believe it or not, apparently it's been brought to my attention that there's a few out there. And this one very well may be the diamond in the rough. Now, I played Tales of Symphonia on the GameCube to a point. I got really, really sick of it. And I could not nail down what it was I didn't like about it. The combat was not my cup of tea.
I thought the combat was pretty good. What really drove it for me was the style. I was a big fan of, like, how the enemies and the characters were all, like, designed. And just the overall style of the world was very nice. The story was horrid.
Okay.
The story was, like, a really bad copy of Final Fantasy X. It was disgusting.
This, but anyway. I don't know how much would differ story-wise, because I didn't really get into the Symphonia game. It just didn't strike me correctly. But I think part of that had to do with the fact that I did not have a good handle on the combat. I really didn't want Street Fighter. I did not. Okay, if you don't know what this is, okay, this is a role-playing game where when you go into combat, it's like you've got, let's say, 3 characters in your party. You have full control, like you're one dude, but you have like 4 buttons you can press to make him do moves, but you've got a giant list of moves. So you have to pick out your moves like ahead of time.
Right.
And then you have these other characters and you have like 3 or 4 buttons that you can set like moves for them to do for you.
Right. You can call out, hey, do this.
Right. So like, let's say you've got like a healer type guy in your party. You can flick down on the C button on the GameCube control and cause him to, lay down a heal on someone.
You can also pause it and have the full list and say,
right,
do this.
It doesn't fit that style of combat, I think, is my biggest problem. You know, if you were playing an older Final Fantasy game, 1 through 6, I'm going to say, because I don't really have a whole lot of experience with the rest because I don't like them very much. The combat was like, you know, it was active and wait. You could wait for it. You could pick your move, but you had your whole list. So as long as you could think fast enough, pick out, oh, okay, I need an ice spell here, I need a heal there, and I need, bam, that there, okay? You were good to go. You had full access to all of your shit, but the combat allowed itself to be that way, right? This is like real-time action. It's like you're playing Street Fighter all of a sudden. And all of a sudden, you just want to pause it and tell the guy what to do. It just doesn't fit. It just kind of broke the combat for me just a little bit too much. And I didn't like the way that I had to, like, use weird key combinations to control an extremely limited number of moves for my other players, my other party members.
You could also choose to make everybody on auto-attack,
full automatic, yeah.
And then
we know how good that works because everybody winds up fucking dead except for you. Well, I always have
problems.
No, because
all they would do is auto-attack. They would just attack the mobs. And then you basically play God, and you sit there with a more traditional menu system saying, all right, do this, do this, do this, do this. You got to control all the special moves.
Huh. I might have to play around with that again, because I never did that. I assumed it had to have been played the other way. I had some of my guys, like, my guys would do stuff automatically, though, and they did spells automatically, I'm sure of it. They'll do, like,
that's
semi-auto.
Because, that's because you had the AI set wrong.
You can
have AI set to do nothing unless you're
right.
Told.
No. I didn't have that. No. I had them set up to do attacks and to do special moves and whatnot. And I needed them to do that, and they did okay.
Well, no, but if you go fully automatic, then you set the AI to do nothing, because then all they do
is
attack.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
And then you control what they do.
Huh. See, I don't know, it just seems too funky. It seems like they should have just found a way to make the combat and not just been like, well, we'll let you guys configure it to however you think you would like to play this combat. There's a lot of combat. Random battles. You're walking around the overworld and bam, you're in combat again. You took two steps. You know, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's great because the way I've been playing the game so far has pretty much just been level grinding. I've just been trying to get a handle on the combat because I remember that being my biggest complaint. Other than the story was pretty boring, I wasn't way into it, the voice acting was absolutely horrible. The graphics were nice though, but obviously that didn't make for a good game because I didn't get very far before I got incredibly sick of it. But this game is almost exactly like it though, I've noticed. It's, you know, you've got the worst voice acting in the fucking world in this game. It's crazy. It's so bad.
How much, they have full voice acting?
Not full, not all the time.
Well, but no, but they don't have full voice acting in a PS2 game either. I mean.
Right, no, but there's little cutscenes, and if you hit select like on the other ones, you talk to your party, you know, or whatever, like a little scene comes up or whatever. And if there's like a cutscene thing or like an important thing, like when I got picked up my fourth guy, I think they talked for a while, you know, because it was important. But when I run across a random dude in town, there's no voice.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
So yeah. But I must say I've actually been enjoying this one. And I don't know why. I have actually been having a good time playing this game because I don't know, it feels different than Symphonia, and I'm full of shit. It's the same fucking game. Yet it's different, and I have less controls. I have two buttons that I can essentially set to like hotkey buttons for my other dudes. So I don't know if it's like the default controls, the combat system were set better, you know, like in this one versus Symphonia, but I'm having a way better time with the combat.
You also could just be in a better mood for this kind of game.
That's a definite possibility.
Because I know if I'm in, like, let's say a racing game mood, like I want to play some F-Zero or whatever. An FPS just ain't going to cut it. It doesn't matter how good the FPS
is. Right, right. That's an absolute possibility, too, because I do go through little segments like that where I want to play certain games, and it's very well possible that maybe that was just my problem at the time, and it sucks ass because you're probably dead right. Because I've actually been having quite a bit of fun with this on the PSP. I've been laying in bed playing it while I'm watching, you know, some video or whatever, and I've been thinking, shit. Now I want to check it out on the GameCube again, because god damn it, it's the same game, but I have more buttons now, and it's, you know, bigger. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There's something about it on the PSP that might just be better. The storyline was something about, like, well, I don't know, I'm in the very beginning. This girl crashes in, like, out of the sky, right? She, like, lands, bam, and there's, like, two friends, childhood friends that are hanging out or some shit, and they come across this chick out in the woods who landed out of, crashed in out of the sky, and she has some weird, very carbuncle-ish looking creature with her, a little blue squirrel, and she doesn't speak their language, okay, which, you know, I read it as English, but, you know, whatever. She doesn't speak, they don't talk together. It turns out, I find out, you know, later in the storyline anyway, that it's some kind of ancient language, and there's a whole civilization that lives up in the sky. And so there's like these two worlds, and I guess they used to communicate and talk back and forth, and it's been X amount of number of hundreds of years or whatever, tens of years or whatever, that, something happened. Anyway, it's been a long time since they've communicated or whatever, so this is like the first time in forever they've talked to these people, and it's amazing. So they figure, what are we gonna do? You know, what are we gonna do with her? Well, we can't just leave her out here, so let's take her. So she becomes the third member of your party right away. And the first thing you do is you try to head out to go find a buddy of yours who was supposedly studying about those, that whole civilization and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So the point of the story I've gotten to is basically, where I've met the fourth guy and he's just shocked. Just like, oh my god, you know, you're one of these people that lives up there in the sky place. And it seems pretty cool so far. Now, I don't know if that sounds like it's from a Final Fantasy game or what.
Well, see, the problem is, and I have run like literally half the role-playing games I've played in the last like maybe 2 years has been, all right, you have a priestess. Her god turns out to be the devil. You beat her god. That's Final Fantasy X, that's Tales of Symphonia, that's Grandia 3. I mean, it's bad enough that every single one of them is young kids saving the world. Now we have to add that kind of detail to the generic storyline.
Right, right.
I mean, do we always need to have a priestess whose god turns out to be bad? It's getting a little old.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I have resigned myself to be okay with every single time you're some teenager saving the world. Some farmer.
We can look past it. Some farm boy, yeah. Right.
I've gotten past the fact that every game has to be like that. That's fine. But do we really need the whole priestess god is actually a bad thing?
Why does that sound so familiar for Grandia 2 also? It sounds really familiar to me for some reason. Like, I remember there is a priestess, and she was, like, the main story part of the whole... And I can't remember now what happened, but I remember... holy shit, that's funny.
And it worked out well in Final Fantasy X. I had never had that story before, and it was good, but it's over now. Pick something new.
Definitely, definitely. We have to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about a game. This will be, like, a full review here. We've had our preview section here. Kingdom Hearts 2. For the PS2, now I have not played this, but I have been told by Rybo on multiple occasions that we must talk about this game, and I cannot pull my head out of my ass long enough to play this game. I don't even have it, so obviously I can't play it. But Kobar here is just about done with it, I guess?
I'm not quite sure. I have to be close, because I've been through a lot of worlds, and the only one I can remember from, like previews and reviews and stuff that I haven't been to is Tron. And I think there's a couple more, but I can't remember what they were. But it's actually pretty good. I have a real problem with the difficulty scaling. Like, normal is just beyond easy. I'll sit there on normal and, like, not get hit.
But otherwise it's too hard. Sorry. It's my inner 12-year-old gamer coming out.
Normal should really be easy.
Not
and then
mine.
And then the real normal should be, like, in between what normal and proud mode is right now.
Proud?
Yeah, that's what hard is called.
Oh, my gay.
It's an action RPG. You have you only control yourself, and then you have Donald and Goofy who just kind of do their own thing. Oh, if only this was TV. The faces I'm getting.
I can't handle it.
I have a little problem with the story because most of the worlds have no real connection with the overall storyline. Like, you're looking for King Mickey and your friend from the first one.
King Mickey.
Yeah. It's okay, C4. It's okay.
No.
And so you go to world looking for them, but you end up doing their shit, not your own. And so, like...
Okay, so you're... And now, who are you? Are you, like, some kid who was, like, reading a Disney book when I got sucked into the game world, or
no,
what?
No.
I have no idea what I'm looking at here.
The game world is actually a universe.
Okay.
And you were a kid in one of the little island universes.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're little universes. They're, like, little worlds.
A little universe.
Right.
Okay.
And, so, basically, something happened in the first one. I don't really remember exactly.
It's like Rybo is a little gay, right?
I don't remember exactly what happens, but they're trying to get off the island, and, like, the two friends, except for Sora, get, like, kidnapped or something, and then he goes to try to save them, and that's how he breaks out of his world.
From universe to universe.
Well, world to world the universe.
Oh, okay.
And trying to find them. And it's almost the exact same storyline as far as that's concerned. You're still missing King Mickey, and you're still missing one of the two friends. And so you're going from world to world trying to find them. But when you get into that world, you stop looking for them. You do, like, that world's shit.
Like, right. Like, you intended to go to help go find whatever. And now you're helping Winnie the Pooh get some honey.
Right.
Okay. God damn it. I need to leave the studio or something. I can't do this.
It's actually pretty good, though, because it's a real nice combination of something a little more adult with the Final Fantasy world.
Right.
And, like, you have Cloud, and he's all, like, moody and like, dressed up all badass. And you also have, like, Winnie the Pooh. Right.
I'm sure it's actually really fun. I just got to give Rybo a bad time.
The graphics are pretty good. The gameplay is good. It's a little uncomplicated. Like, you get all these different abilities you end up getting, and you have AP points, or ability points to spend to get them.
Okay.
You also get way too many ability points, because you end up being able to get pretty much everything.
Everything, right.
So, why they make you choose when you're going to get it all anyway is kind of ridiculous. But, instead of having to do, like, maybe XX Square or whatever.
Oh, okay.
It's mostly just X, depending on whether you're in the air or on the ground or moving forward.
That might be okay. I mean, it's an action RPG, so you don't necessarily need Street Fighter type moves out there.
No, you don't want you don't want it that burly. Yeah. But I would like maybe a quick and slow attack. I would like maybe as well as a
sounds
a
like Xenosaga. Something like Xenosaga's controls, maybe. Speaking of which, I need to go buy Xenosaga 2. Remind me.
Okay. But and so sure, in certain situations, like you're starting a ground attack. And if you have it equipped, you can press X to knock him in the air to start an air combo. And, you know, it's acceptable. I would like the ability to have a quick, low-damaging attack and a slow, strong attack. But it's acceptable. Most of the extra stuff, like your limits and your summons and your spells and stuff, useless. You are powerful enough in just attacking and maybe throw in a cure for yourself or whatnot. The rest of it becomes ridiculous. Like it's not worth scrolling through the D-pad menu and not attacking to set up that summon.
Now, what about a boss, though? Are they tough?
Yeah. Oh, okay. If you're playing on Proud Mode, stuff is very tough. Like
even a regular combat's pretty hard?
Depending on the creature, yeah.
Okay, right.
Like there's these one guys that are like fat, and they're invincible from the front. Okay, and you have to get around behind them and attack them from behind to even do damage. And on Proud Mode, when they hit you, several of their attacks take like 3/4 of your hit points.
Cool.
Wham!
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid Wind Waker here, where like the only time you die was if you fuck up. You know, like, I mean, you just kind of stomp through everything, and then if you accidentally fall in the lava, oh, I died. Okay, let me go do this again and just plow through the enemies, get to the boss, and whoop their ass.
Proud Mode will get you killed.
Okay.
You have to be very on the ball, and especially with your healing, or you will die a lot. Don't play on normal. I've tried playing on normal. I can't get hurt. Like, you just keep comboing them so bad that they won't even attack you.
Right.
And if they do, once they die, they drop HP little orbs that heal you back up.
Oh, how convenient.
Yeah, like I played for a little while in normal, and I had to use a health potion once.
Jesus.
And I played several worlds. It's not good.
Wow.
It's too easy.
Yeah, okay.
But
I think Raibo was bitching about that to me, too.
Yeah.
Like, normal, he was just like, it's so fucking easy, it's not even worth it. But if you change it...
Proud's also a little rough, because especially since some of the enemies get real cheap. Like that fat guys that will take 3/4 of your hit points. They can't be attacked from the front. They keep moving, like, facing the front towards you. It's tough to get behind them sometimes. There's these cars that, out of the blue, like, go invincible and start zooming around at you, and there's nothing you can do until later in the game when you get a double jump.
Whoa.
You just have to kind of take it.
Huh.
And so some of the enemy's attacks are a little cheap. But all in all, it's a very good game. It's different, and that's important, especially if you haven't played the first one or really liked the first one. The idea of the whole Disney thing with the Final Fantasy, it's at least a very different world with a very different, like, story type of deal.
Hmm.
And I'm going to go ahead and give this game... I'm going to give the game a 40.
Yeah? 40 out of 50, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. I've seen it for rent, and it's always gone. Down at Blockbuster here, yeah. I thought about renting it, and it's never in.
The good stuff about this game is definitely more than the negatives.
Cool, cool. And as long as it offers challenge, if you can make it somehow offer challenge.
In Proud Mode, it is decently challenging.
Cool, I know. I own Kingdom Hearts 1, and I swear I'm going to play it someday. I have it sitting here. It's still not open. I've got to check it out. I heard a lot of good things. I remember Wolf was absolutely hooked on it.
I played Kingdom Hearts 1 for a while, and I can't remember, but something made me stop. Something I was just like, this is gay, and quit it. And I don't think it was the Disney thing,
because
I'm perfectly happy with the Disney thing in this one.
Speaking of Wolf, though, he was supposed to make the show today.
Yep.
Had some kind of a lame excuse of why he couldn't make it. And since we're out of time, next week we have to look forward to possibly Wolf.
Yeah.
And that movie is out on DVD, Fun with Dick and Jane. I've got a little review of that. And Silent Hill is in theaters, and I should actually see that on Tuesday. So we should have a little review of that next week for you. And I think that's about all I've got. Anything else?
I think so.
No? All right. Peace.
Later.
Sega was no longer manufacturing Dreamcast.